Welcome to Career Tools. This week, the purpose of the organization for individual contributors. The question this cast answers are, what is the purpose of the organization? Why does it matter to me? And how do I contribute?
Have you ever considered bringing manager tools training to your organization and wondered if we were a good fit? Well, you'd probably be shocked to learn the different type of companies that we work with and who ask for our help and are successful implementing our guidance. Not surprisingly, given that podcast listening tends to skew a little technical, 50% of our client organizations lean technical, software, engineering, organizations like that. But the other 50% are a healthy mix of educational organization, pharmaceuticals, energy, healthcare, banking and finance, automobiles and trucking industries, warehousing, transportation, government, water utilities, electric utilities, nonprofits. We are all over the map in terms of the industries we are involved in. And guess what? We haven't found one yet that can't benefit from our guidance. Look, it translates into this. Solid management and communications are not industry specific. It works across the board. Like we often say, our guidance applies to 90% of all organizations 90% of the time. So if you've been thinking about it, you've been delaying, hey, it doesn't hurt. Give us a call and let us help you understand how we can come help. Contact Maggie at maggie@manager-tools.com or go to our website and click on For Organizations to learn how we can come on site and help you with your group of people. www.manager-tools.com. Hope to hear from you.
Those of you who don't know, we have two other podcasts, one called Manager Tools for managers and one called Executive Tools for executives. They're all cunningly named. Executive Tools is only available to you if you have a personal license, and it started during this summer. And the first thing that we covered was the purpose of the organization for executives. So we talked about why organizations exist, how they work, and what that means if you're an executive to your career and your daily life, which is great if you're an executive. But if you're an individual contributor, the purpose of the organization, why it exists, is the same, but that your perspective is completely different. So what we wanted to do in this guidance is just bring it all the way down to why the organization exists and what that means for you in a day-to-day basis as an individual contributor.
Yeah. So our outline for today is, it's pretty simple. Your purpose is execution, and what you execute is the plan.
So easy. Execution as in doing things, not as in the French Revolution, just to be clear.
Oh, yes. I remember somewhere in my career, somebody said something like, that person's really, instead of saying that person's really good at executing, that they said that person is a really good executioner. And I thought, I don't know if that's how you say that.
No. Yeah. So the purpose of the organization is important because if we don't understand what it exists for, we have absolutely no chance of achieving it. So if we start there, then we can come down or up depending. So the purpose of the organization is to serve society. And that's the purpose of any organization in a democratic capitalist society. And you might think that only nonprofits exist to serve society and organizations, you know, commercial organizations exist to make money, but that is through serving society. If they didn't serve anyone, then they wouldn't make any money. And so we're going to go through some logic just to prove that all organizations exist to serve society.
Right. I think commonly sometimes we think that organizations exist, you know, to provide jobs or, you know, things like that. And that comes up a lot at high levels, especially when we talk about like government, right? Mm-hmm. We hear governments talking about job creation and that type of stuff. And so, but organizations don't exist only to provide employment. So logically, their purpose has to be wider than just serving employees. They don't exist just to store capital. So their purpose has to be wider than just serving their shareholders, right? They don't exist just to create goods or move them from being within the organization's control into an individual's control. So their purpose has to be wider than just serving their customers. If you isolate any constituency served by an organization, you'll find that the organization exists to serve more than that constituency, right? That's the logic. And this is why we say that the organization exists to serve society. That is everyone. Everyone benefits.
And it might be, how is it that society benefits if Apple makes an iPhone? Well, Apple makes an iPhone so that people are employed, shareholders get a return, the people who make the components are all benefited, everybody pays tax on it, people are enabled to run their businesses based on that fact. If you go through all of the things that some one thing serves, yeah, I got a shiny new Apple iPhone, lucky me. But actually, if you think of it more broadly, it really does touch everything.
Yeah, I even think of, you know, competitors, right? Mm-hmm. Apple competitors benefit. I know that sounds weird, but when Apple's successful or, you know, creates a new product and comes up with something, I mean, I don't know. I'm thinking of what's one of the most recent things, something like AirPods, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, AirPods
now everybody's changed.
Yeah, they changed how people, you know, listen to music via Bluetooth and you know, a small device where they, I remember the case itself charging the AirPods. I was like, what? I've never seen that, yes. Right? And now everything does everything that, right? We've got, yeah.
Exactly. And iPads, like nobody had an iPad. And now you can have a tablet from Amazon, a Fire tablet, for like $30.
Oh, yeah. My kids have Amazon tablets. I mean, they're so cheap. And the kids' ones, if they drop them or lose them or get them wet, I mean, they replace them for free. It's so cost effective for the consumer.
Mm-hmm. And that would have never started without one company. So,
right.
All of the people who are connected with the organization, whether they know it or not, play a part in the organization's success in serving society. So that's the executives at the top of the organization, the managers in the middle, and all the individual contributors. Each person has their own role. Each group has to exist in the organization for the organization to continue. And each group has their own kind of role within that.
Right, exactly. And as we've talked about, the purpose of executives, their role is to ensure the long-term sustainment of the company. This is what that strategic planning, organizational structure, this is what all those company announcements, I mean, all of that is about. The executives are trying to take the correct actions to enable the company to survive, to persist, to continue to do. I say survive, that's probably not the right way of saying it, right?
Thrive.
To continue. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Their role isn't to work out how to make those plans happen, other than, you know, make sure that the right managers are in place, nor is their role to enact those plans. Their role is to take in the information from the outside and inside the company and translate that into a plan that will keep the company around.
So the purpose of the managers is to enable the plans. They develop the tactics and the procedures which direct the individual contributors' actions in order to achieve the plan. And again, the manager's role isn't to create the plan, but to make sure that it's achieved. Because executives have to have an outward face. They have to be taking in all the signals from the environment, from the business environment, from the political environment, from the physical environment, to make those plans. And there's no way a manager can do that and make the plan happen. That's why we have different roles. So the executive has that outward facing translation role and make a plan. And then the manager has the role of making sure it happens. And equally, they can't be making sure it happens and doing it. So there has to be another group.
Yeah. And that's where individual contributors come in, right?
They're the people that are doing the...
Yeah, they're doing the thing, yeah. Right? They're, yeah, exactly. So what does this mean for individual contributors? If this guidance were to only have 8 words, it would be these. The purpose of the individual contributor is execution. The role of the individual contributor is to execute the strategy and plans set by the executive and the tactics and procedures set by the manager. In order to enable the organization to serve society. Their role is not to develop plans or decide how they'll be enacted, but to do the work to the standard required. That's such a powerful point, right?
Yeah, that's all you have to do is do it. And there's a translation to this, which we don't want you to hear. The translation would be do what you're told and don't think. And that's not what we want. Yes, the individual contributor's role is to execute the plan they're given, but that doesn't mean you live in a box and you're not allowed to think and you're not allowed to do anything and you know, you just do as you're told, whether it makes sense or not. Executives within a modern organization don't expect like that worker bee, that corporate right. drone just doing the orders, executing orders unthinkingly. You're responsible for getting the work done and understanding how it fits into the organization. And so great executives understand that the ideas and improvement come as much from individual contributors as they do from anywhere else in the organization. It's often the guy in the warehouse who has an idea for how you can improve shipping. It's the person who talks to customers all day who has an idea about how you can improve the website. It's the person in accounts who sees, you know, some piece of expenses, you know, every month I have to do this and it takes an extra 10 hours and why do I have to do this? We're not telling you that those people should stay silent and just do what they're told. We're telling you that you have to get what stuff done but you have to think about the bigger organization and then you have to choose your moment. But the primary reason for your job existing and for you having that job is to execute the what's given to you.
Yeah. I just was thinking about this as you were saying that. Would it be fair to say that really successful, or I would even say enviable, executives are the executives that not only know what their company does and how they do it and know all of that, and then know really, really well how that sits in their industry, mm-hmm. in the greater environment or economy that in which the organization sits. I mean, that's analogous to an individual contributor mm-hmm. saying, this is what I do. This is what I do really well. And here's how this fits in the context of the next level or the greater organization. I mean, that's what we talk about.
Exactly.
That's what we talk about with the 150% rule, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, you're right. I hadn't put that two together, but it's exactly the same skill on a different, you know, in a different context. And so if you ever want to be an executive, practicing this skill now as an individual contributor is genius. And Andrew just gave you like a 10-year leg up on your career.
Scope just changes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a bigger scope.
It's just the information. That's amazing.
Yeah. I am not trivializing being an executive, by the way. I'm just saying.
No.
You got to start somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. So if you have an idea, you can't stop executing. You have to still be hitting your results. You have to still be doing whatever it is you're supposed to be doing. And then you can persuade your manager potentially to try and do something different, to do something better, that you have an idea that will work. But you're not prohibited from trying that persuasion just because your role is execution.
Yeah. And I think, you know, some of this, we would never want to provide a scapegoat, right, mm-hmm. for individuals. But I think a lot of this comes down to management. And a lot of managers are not doing a very good job of explaining the bigger picture, right, to the folks doing the work. And sometimes it's because it's seen as much more complicated than it needs to be, right? We make too big of a deal out of certain things. You know, working down from the mission to an individual contributor's role is impossible. Working up from an individual contributor's role to a project and how that project fits into the division and the company strategy, you know, that's easier. And yes. That's the way that we should be approaching this as managers and really as individual contributors, right? If you have a manager who's struggling with this or doesn't do this very well, those are how you start asking those questions. And in order to make valuable contributions other than execution, you need to understand the context. And so if your boss is one of those who doesn't do this very well, then this is how you ask. And this means asking for not just what you're doing, what you need to accomplish, but what is this intended to accomplish for the greater organization, right? For your department, for your division, how does that fit bigger or into the bigger picture? And you should ask those questions early and often.
Yeah, and often that's what makes something that doesn't make sense. When you're doing a project and you've been given something to do and you're just like, I don't understand why I'm doing this, makes no sense to me. And yet, if you understand it in the bigger picture, often it does make more sense. There's something about optimizing. You can't optimize all the subcomponents if you want to optimize the whole. I think you have to de-optimize some of the. I wish Mark was here because he could explain that better. But sometimes it is necessary for someone to do something that costs more or costs more in labor or is more difficult or takes more time, because that in the broader picture saves time and saves money and saves effort. And sometimes it's really hard to know when it's you know, in your very small little world doing the one thing. If you don't have that context, you can't understand it. And it's frustrating from memory. Like when I had to do that, I'd just be like, I don't understand why I'm doing this. It's a waste of time. And when you understand the context, it makes a really big difference.
And I think that's a good point about the tactic, that the how to ask, right? You don't say things like, you don't tell your boss like, why am I doing this?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, they tend to like not give you a good answer.
Yeah, they're not going to respond well to that, right? But asking questions that give you the context, right? Or asking, you know, oh, is this something that would affect, you know, and then think of like a downstream department, or does this also help marketing, right? Or whatever, right? Those types of things that you can start to get a feel for how receptive your boss is to providing that context. Because listen, they may not know either sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, even though that's their job, that doesn't mean that they know, right?
And you just turned what executives do and show how what individual contributors do the same thing. So we're going to do a different analogy that works in the same way that the bigger economy and that what you do work together. So all organizations add value to raw materials to turn them into whatever they sell to the customer. So if you think of a simple example, like a wood mill, it takes in the raw trees, which have a certain value, right? They buy the trees for $10 a tree. I have no idea how much a tree costs. And then they carry out a series of processes which result in planks of a certain size and quality. And then they sell those planks to Lowe's at a price more than the total cost of the trees. And that work that they did is the difference between the cost that they paid for the tree and what they can sell it to Lowe's for. And the bigger the difference between the thing that comes in, i.e. the tree, and the thing that comes out, i.e. the plank, the more the difference at cost is. So if they went all the way from a tree to furniture, you know, the furniture, the use of the wood, you know, if you think of a table, that's not very much wood, but it's way more expensive than 1 or 10 planks of wood at Lowe's.
Yeah.
And it's way more expensive than, I assume, buying a tree. Never have bought a tree for a wood mill, but there you go. And so if you think about what comes into a process and what goes out of the process, the difference, the work that's done on that object is the value that the company adds to the process.
Yeah, that's the value creation. And in the same way, individual contributors have raw goods and do some sort of processing, right? And create that value. So the bigger the difference between the raw goods and the output, then you could argue the higher the salary, right? The higher the value of the individual contributor. For example, a person stocking shelves in a grocery store helps convert stock into cash. The store manager converts the raw materials of stock and a store and the staff into cash for the company.
Which is why the manager gets paid more than the person stocking the shelves.
Right. As an individual contributor, you too have raw materials which you process and output, and you can add value and therefore make yourself more than just a cog or, you know, an automation, as long as you do it at the right time and in the right way.
And in our guidance for this topic on executives, we said the best example of someone becoming a truly effective executive is when they start making decisions for the organization that don't increase their own power and budget. In other words, they're making decisions not for themselves to benefit, but for the organization to benefit. And sometimes they themselves, it's to their detriment. You know, when you hear like when a company's going through a rough time and the executives say, okay, we're going to freeze pay and all of the executives are going to take a pay cut. You know, that's good for the organization, it's not good for them personally. And there is a stage where they make decisions, people make decisions based on their own power and benefits from those decisions. And when you've got to effective executive status, you'll know that when you start making the decisions based on the need of the organization. And it's true, again, for individual contributors. The most effective use of your energy, the most effective use of the time that you are being paid to be there is to contribute in the way that's best for the organization, not necessarily yourself.
Yeah.
And fortunately for most of us, most of the time, doing something in service of the organization brings us career success, which brings us all the benefits of that. But there are days when you would rather do it for yourself.
Yeah.
I think,
yeah.
You know, and think, you know, why am I adding value to something? Why am I doing all this for someone else to take the profit? Right.
Right.
Because, you know, why am I a cog in this machine? Well, you have to think about the contribution in the context of the organization and serving society. And if you do that, it makes it sound like, everybody who goes to work in a commercial organization is also like joining a convent. They like, we're doing mm-hmm. this in the service of God. And I don't mean it that way because, of course,
right.
you know, capitalism doesn't work that way, but it does in some ways. And I think people miss that there is something noble, I guess, about working in a company that's making profits and serving society.
We work with a lot of organizations, and I've worked with organizations in the past, and that gives me a unique perspective on seeing how organizations are structured and how they operate. And I think of this, I didn't think of it consciously, but subconsciously I realized I think of this as I'm kind of evaluating and, for lack of a better word, judging organizations, mm-hmm. is how closely are these two things tied?
Yes.
How closely is the organization's success tied to an individual contributor's success?
Mm-hmm.
And it varies. It's different. It's not only different in different companies, it's different in different organizations within companies,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, think of like sales organizations. They're usually structured so that the individual sales representative or person directly benefits mm-hmm. through commission, through compensation, when the organization benefits. Whereas I think in, you know, manufacturing, if you're manufacturing something, I mean, maybe you don't get, maybe you're not tied to, you know, how many widgets you mm-hmm. output that day, right? It's, you know, if we produce 100 or we produce 1,000, it doesn't really, you know, matter to me one way or the other. The only difference is I have more work. And,
yes.
you know, I think that there is definitely just something, I guess, subconsciously that I thought of that I think of when I look at organizations in terms of how are they structured in terms of organizational success being directly translatable to personal success.
It's true.
If you're not hiding under a rock right now, you know that the recruitment market has been crazy recently. Companies are struggling to hire at all levels. There are more people available in January than any other time of the year. So if you're recruiting, you've got to be recruiting during January. And we're offering our effective hiring manager training in Austin in January, just in time for you to take advantage of all those available people. We'll take you through step by step from creating the job description to onboarding. In one day, you learn everything you need to know to hire a bunch of A players for your team. To find out more details, go to manager-tools.com. And look for training in the menu bar. Hope to see you there.
If you want to make additional contributions, which is two things, I guess. It's A, what stops you being the corporate drone that most people don't want to be, and B, what leads to career success. The one thing, or one of the things you really have to understand is the leader's intent. Because what you need to be doing is making contributions to further that intent, which is the intent for the organization.
Yeah. This comes from, you know, the military. It's that commander's intent. It's the message that is clarified at a briefing before an action, right? The commander describes what success and the purpose behind what she wants to achieve is, right? The commander, if incapacitated or, you know, should pass in battle, every person in the team would know what to do because it's been conveyed.
Yeah, even if everybody else dies, the guy who's left knows what we were trying to achieve.
Exactly. Yeah. They know what success is and why. And regardless of what happens, they can get there. Or even if they can't get there, they know where to go, right? They know what that kind of North Star is. Yeah.
So the execution, like what they're actually going to do, is dictated to them. The commander says, I want you to do X, Y, and Z. But because they understand the commander's intent, if something happens, when the plan is thwarted, when people perish, they can improvise because they know what the objective was. And so if you translate that to non-military life, understanding the leader's intent in an organization enables you to add value or execute more effectively. So for example, in a coding role, you might be executing the plan of having the software provide a means for the customer to input a security code. I think everything in the world seems to ask me for a security code now. And there's a bunch of ways you could do that. But if you know what the intent is for the product, then it changes what you do as a coder. So if you know this is a minimum viable product, you need to get it to market quickly and generate cash quickly in order to invest in that product in the future. So you might then code it really simply, just like copy a code base or use some other component from software that you know, just so that you can get that thing out there. Like, I've got the functionality. It's not complicated. It's not hugely secure, but it's enough for now. Right. On the other hand, if you're doing something for a bank, you might spend a lot more time and add in a lot of complexity to prevent, you know, a security code being breached. So knowing why you're doing the thing you're doing changes how you do it and the value that you add. If you're working on the MVP, then anything you can do to make it faster and cheaper is great. If you're working in the bank, if you make the effort to go faster and cheaper, but you lose the security, then you've just wasted effort. So yeah, it's about putting your energy in the right place.
And this is where, I mean, I think a lot of individuals kind of go astray, because it's easy as individual contributors to work on the thing that's the most interesting or that appeals to us or that, you know, we feel comfortable with or we know we're good at and those types of things. And rather than thinking this is the thing that fits within our leader's intent, right? Too much value add doesn't make you more valuable. It subverts organizational resources and it prevents your organization from fully serving society. These are the individual contributors who hear, you know, just do what we ask you to do or to get poor grades for teamwork in their annual review. It's not that their contributions aren't wanted or appreciated. It's not that their leaders want them to be an anonymous drone. It's that they're just not working in the same direction as the organization. And again, you can do great things, but if they're not in concert with what we're trying to do as an organization, they're not benefiting.
No. And people get frustrated. It's like, I worked really hard on that. Yes, you did, but it was the wrong thing. That's why.
Right.
Last up, execute the basics first. So it's often said by those people who have experience, I can break the rules, but I had to know them first. And many of us want to succeed and excel at work, and we want to contribute more, which means we break the rules. We don't do what's specifically asked of us in our jobs, right? We don't execute the basics. We try to do more, and then we go wrong because we don't understand where more should be, and we drop what we should have been doing. When a manager moves to an executive role, they have to make this paradigm shift. They have to move their brain from always thinking internally to taking in that external world. They have to start taking in the messages and start deciding what should be done, not how it should be done. A manager decides how, the executive decides what. And in the same way, the individual contributor will make that another paradigm shift when they move from individual contributor to manager. So a manager is thinking about how things should be done, and the individual contributor is thinking about what that means in terms of the actual tasks, the actual execution of achieving that how. So you make that paradigm shift when you become the manager. And what too many people do is they try and skip that, and they try to get to the part where they're doing the tactics and the procedures and the, I'm going to interpret this and decide what we're going to do, instead of being in the group that they're in at that time, being the individual contributor and working out what are the tasks to be done and doing those tasks.
Oh, yeah. It's like that individual contributor that says, I don't know why we're shipping our products we're doing it B2B when we should be just shipping directly to the consumer. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. But that, I mean, we're talking, that's way, way, you know, at a different stratosphere than what we're doing here. We're just trying to put these in the boxes, right? Like, yes.
Let's do what we're supposed to do first. You know, Somebody was telling me something about our website the other day, and they were like, yeah, I've got this really good idea. You could do this and this and this. And it was a really cool idea. And I was like, yeah, that's a really cool idea. But wouldn't it be good if it, you know, just sold the products that we want it to sell first? Don't get ahead of yourself. Don't move into that manager's role before you are supposed to be there.
I always love when I have someone on a roster who their role is like user experience. Mm-hmm. Manager or you, and I always think like they're going to talk to me about the website and all the different cool things that it could do, and I'm yeah that sounds great,
but we have to deliver your training,
but we got to do this part first.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we could do that stuff, but what we have to do is deliver the training that we're being paid to do that makes your organization better, which is our way of serving society.
Exactly.
So saying that the role of the individual contributor is to execute what they are directed to do is not to put them in a box and prevent them doing more. Instead, actually enables you to focus. Knowing what your part is enables you to put all of your energy into that part rather than wasting energy on the parts that are done by others, whether it's managers, executives, or other people in your team. And understanding the part you have to play, playing it well, getting results, that's how you then move to the manager role or the executive role, make the paradigm shift, and then change. And in some ways, execute that role differently. But you have to start where you are.
Yeah. It's a different angle of something that we've said a few times. If you're not happy with how your boss manages you, then get promoted twice.
Yes.
Right? If you're not happy with the direction the organization is going, get promoted three times. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic.
Bye, everyone.